with regard to unpaid seller under the Sale of Goods Act 1930. What is this topic or subject matter about? It says that the seller has not received the price from the buyer which is due to him. So any amount which is due by the buyer unto the seller where it remains unpaid, the seller is deemed to be an unpaid seller. And if an instrument such as a bill of exchange or any other negotiable instrument has been received on a conditional payment and this condition is not fulfilled because the bill has been dishonored, the seller is deemed to be an unpaid seller. Well, we now proceed with the contents of this chapter. An unpaid seller is one who has not been paid or tendered the whole of the price, or one who receives a bill of exchange or other negotiable instrument as a conditional payment and the condition on which it was received has not been fulfilled by reasons of the dishonor of the instrument or otherwise. Friends, I just mentioned this, that an unpaid seller is not only a person to whom a part of the money is paid, but even a small fraction of the amount being unpaid, he continues to remain an unpaid seller. Again, if the property or the title in the ownership is passed unto the buyer, the seller has only the possession of goods, he still calls himself an unpaid seller when the amount is due, because once the property is given unto the buyer, the seller has every right to file a suit against the buyer for the price. And finally, of course, if a bill of exchange has been received on a particular condition that it has to be fulfilled, if it is dishonored, it is deemed to be a dishonored bill of exchange wherein the seller is called unpaid. Now, this unpaid seller is not only a seller in his capacity, it could be an agent or any bailee, even of the buyer who has possession of the goods. He continues again to enjoy this right wherein, once the property has been given unto the buyer, he immediately has a right to file a case. As regards the unpaid seller, it has to be mentioned that if he refuses to accept the money, can he call himself unpaid? No, he certainly cannot call himself unpaid. So, these are certain intricate areas or features as regards the unpaid seller. Let us now proceed to the rights of an unpaid seller. The rights of an unpaid seller are classified into two categories. When the property in the goods has passed, when the property in the goods has not passed. Well, friends, the technical definition of the term property is crucial to understand this concept of unpaid seller. What is the meaning of property? It doesn't mean movable items. It means the document or contractual title papers as transferred from the seller unto the buyer. So, as I've already mentioned earlier, a person may have the contract papers, but he may not have the goods. He may have the goods, but he may not have the contractual title. So here what he mentions is, with regard to the unpaid seller, the title papers have already gone unto the buyer. Whereas, in the second category, the title papers have not gone unto the buyer. Now, in both these cases, what are the rights of an unpaid seller when he has not received the payment that is due to him? The first is called the right of lien. The second is stoppage in transit. And the third is resale. To just give you a small glimpse of what these three terminologies mean. Lien, the right of a person to keep back an article when money due or outstanding is not paid is called the right of lien. We often use this in company law pertaining to articles of association wherein the company says if the shareholder is not in a position to pay any outstanding borrowings or loan, the company has a lien on his shares. So this is a right of confiscation or the right to keep back. So in the context of the seller tells the buyer, I have a right to retain back the goods. Although I have transferred the property unto you, I keep back the goods. Stoppage. The seller has parted with the goods and he has given it to the carrier. He tells the carrier, stop it in transit or in motion, allow me to regain it back and I'll keep it with me, is called as a stoppage in transit. When both these rights are exercised, he finally tells the seller, look, when I still don't get my price, allow me to resell the item in the market and reimburse myself as regards the amount due by you. Well, if the property has not passed or if the contractual papers have not been given unto the buyer, he simply withholds the delivery, and even if he has parted, he stops it in transit or in transportation when it is in the course of transmission unto the carrier till it reaches the buyer. We now move from sections 47 to 49, which deals with right to lien. A right to retain possession of goods until payment of price. The right to lien is applicable to every unpaid seller under three circumstances. These are sections 47, 1, 2 and 3, where the goods have been sold without stipulation as to credit, where the goods have been sold on credit and the term of credit has expired, where the buyer becomes insolvent and the seller is in possession of goods. What do we mean by this? The right of lien is exercised by the seller, he says, under three circumstances. The goods are sold without any stipulation as to credit, which means it is sold on cash basis. So when the cash is not received by the seller tells the buyer, look, I have a right to keep back the goods. Secondly, I may be selling the goods on credit, but supposing the credit term has expired and you have not paid the amount unto me, permit me to proceed against you because I remain unpaid after the expiry of the term of credit wherein I have not received the amount that is due by you unto me. Finally, you become insolvent. Now, for the purposes of insolvency under the Sale of Goods Act, a person is said to be insolvent when he is unable to pay his dues as and when they are outstanding. He need not have committed an act of insolvency or nothing officially, but then once he's unable to pay whatever is due from his side, he's regarded as an insolvent person. So in the situation, the seller tells the buyer, permit me to retain the goods. Now, as far as this lien is concerned, we have to understand that a lien can be exercised only for the purposes of the price of the goods, not against storage, not against warehouse charges or any other charges. Again, lien can be exercised only when there is no exclusion clause in the agreement that the seller has waived the lien. Again, as far as the seller is concerned, he need not be the seller. Even in the capacity of a bailee or in the capacity of a carrier, he has the right, once he has this retention authority, he has the right to exercise this in any capacity, even as the agent or bailee for the buyer. When does lien end? Now, to explain when this lien ends, my friends, lien ends when the buyer or his agent lawfully take the possession of the goods. Once the seller has given it to the carrier or the transporter, seller, you now cannot take it back, because then the second stage of stoppage in transit starts. Thirdly, seller, if you have waived the lien, now what does this mean? Waiver, to surrender, to give up. The period of credit is over. Mr. Seller, you have told the buyer, doesn't matter, I'll extend the term of credit. If you're ready to take a security, even if the amount is not paid, then it means you do not have an idea to retain the goods. You are agreeable to have a compromise arrangement, which is called waiver. Again, the lien ends when there is any kind of a subsale undertaken by the buyer with the consent of the seller, or when there is a transfer of property by the seller or by the seller unto the buyer and the buyer commits a resale. Here again, there is said to be a subsale where the third party enjoys a clear title unto the goods. Well, friends, let me give you two illustrations on what exactly lien is about. X, a seller in Mumbai, has given goods worth rupees 10,000 unto Y at Mumbai. Now, he carries these goods at the other station and asks the railway authorities to issue an RR, which means a railway receipt. Now, this railway receipt is now given in the name of the buyer or the agent who receives this. Now, once this RR, which is a document of title, is in the name of the buyer or his agent, the right of lien automatically stops. If the RR is issued in the name of the seller or his agent, it means that the seller is smart enough. He says, I will not part with the goods until you pay me the price. So here, the right of lien is an authority on the part of the seller as to how he would like to use it for the purposes of reclaiming the price on the goods. Let us move to the second slot, which talks on stoppage in transit. Sections 49 onwards, technically sections 50 to 52. When the right of lien is lost and the termination of lien, when he delivers the goods to the carrier or other bailee for the purposes of transmission to the buyer without reserving the right of disposal of the goods, when the buyer or his agent lawfully obtains possession of the goods, when the seller waives the right of lien, which I just mentioned right now, and therefore, when this lien ends, the right of stoppage in transit is said to commence. What is stoppage in transit? If the goods are delivered to the carrier or other bailee by the seller, the transit is commenced and it comes to an end when the buyer acquires possession thereof. What are the main essentials of stoppage? The seller must be unpaid and he has already given the possession unto the carrier. The buyer must have become insolvent and the goods are in transit. The stoppage in transit, okay, how is it effected? By taking actual possession of the goods, by giving a notice of his claim to the carrier or other bailee in whose possession the goods are, to re-deliver the goods to the seller or according to his directions. Now, this stoppage in transit, when does it come to an end? When the carrier acknowledges to the buyer that I am holding the goods on your behalf, the transit comes to an end. Similarly, when the agent of the buyer takes the possession of the goods, the transit automatically comes to an end. When the carrier refuses to deliver, also the stoppage comes to an end. Or if there is a subsale effected by the buyer or in the capacity of the buyer whose property papers have been transferred to a third party, the stoppage is effected and comes to an end. We now move to the right of resale, which means the right of the seller to dispose of the goods after exercising the right of lien and stoppage, which is the third effective right by the unpaid seller to the third party or the person who has the amount due, informing him that, look, I'm going to sell these goods in the market, whereby I would like to reimburse myself. What are the intricacies of the rights of an unpaid seller? When the goods are of a perishable nature, he has a right to resell. Where the seller gives notice, except in case of perishable goods, to the buyer of his intention to resell, and the buyer does not pay or tender the price within a reasonable time, or where the seller has expressly reserved his right of resale in case the buyer makes a default. Well, the three instances where he is able to resell are: the goods are of a perishable nature, which means it could be a dairy product, it could be fruits, it could be vegetables, which tantamount to quick spoilage of items, or there is a quick deterioration whereby the seller disposes it off. The seller must have told the buyer, look, I reserve the right. That is, you remember in my earlier example, I had sent the goods by railways. The railways issued an RR in the name of the seller, that is myself, or in the name of my agent. Now, what has the seller, that is myself, done? I have reserved the right of disposal. I tell the buyer, look, I will not give the possession of the goods until you pay me the price. And this is called reservation of the right of disposal. And finally, I now give you a notice. The seller tells the buyer, I give you a notice. Supposing on resale, I get lesser than the amount what is due, I'll file a suit for damages against you. If I get an excess amount, the goods are worth 100 rupees. On resale, I get 150 rupees. Do I have to return the 50 rupees back? No, I don't have to return. When I have notified the buyer that, look, on resale, I have already informed you that if you don't pay me the price, I will stand unpaid, in which eventuality I resell your items. Of course, Mr. Seller, you don't enjoy this right if you have not intimated the buyer. So if there is no notice, obviously the suit for damages doesn't lie, and any kind of excess or surplus cannot be reclaimed if there is no notice given by you unto the buyer. The right to withhold delivery. Where the property in the goods has not passed unto the buyer, the seller has a right to withhold the delivery of goods, which we have already seen in the earlier instance. And reservation of the right of disposal, where the seller imposes certain conditions, and until the conditions are fulfilled, the seller does not pass with the possession of the goods. Where the seller transmits to the buyer a bill of exchange and the bill of exchange is not honored and it stands dishonored, the seller tells the buyer, look, I retain the possession and the goods will not be given by me unto you. These are the rights of the unpaid seller. Well, what are his other rights? Now, these are the rights of the unpaid seller against the buyer in his personal capacity. Now, what we saw earlier was the rights of the unpaid seller, particularly against the goods. What do you mean by goods? All movable items other than actionable claims and money. So this is as far as the goods are concerned. Now, this is a right which the unpaid seller enjoys against the buyer in his personal capacity. He sues the buyer for the price of the goods. The seller may sue the buyer for damages for wrongfully neglecting or refusing to accept the goods. He recovers the interest from the buyer where there is a specific agreement to that effect. Now, the first thing is that he has a right to sue for the price of the goods. Now, if he has not been in a position to recover the price, he tells the buyer that, look, whatever is the difference between the contract price and the market price as on the date of delivery, permit me to file a suit against you. Now, supposing you have wrongfully neglected and you refuse to accept, then wherein I, the unpaid seller, will have to be paid according to the provisions of the Contract Act, and again, where you have not accepted the delivery, whatever damages are to be given by you, you have to pay the same unto me. And similarly, wherever there is interest due, right from the time that we have entered into the contract till the time that the goods are required to be delivered, whatever is the difference between the contract price and the market price, which is executed on the date of delivery, that interest will be recovered by me unto you. I think, friends, we have now had a very clear idea on the rights of an unpaid seller, wherein we have seen that if he is an unpaid seller, he is a person or he is deemed to be a seller, wherein the amount that is due, even whether partly or wholly, remains outstanding on the part of the buyer, he is called unpaid. And if there is any instrument or any kind of a bill of exchange and it is received on a conditional payment and the conditions which are required to be complied are not fulfilled, the seller calls himself unpaid. Well, I think we have now had a perfect insight into the various aspects of the unpaid seller. Thank you very much.